Charles Shepherd, welcome.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, the Art Museum is plenty busy this year. I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, it's a fair assessment indeed, yes.
All righty. And right now you're sharing something new, which is a state-of-the-art acquisition and a link to Fort Wayne's very, very art-centric past with an exhibit that narrates the story of the Fort Wayne Art School. Let's start right there, which is literally 1888 in West Central. How do you unfold this really great tale?
Well, you know, Julia, within yourself, discover that it is actually a great tale and that it's not a tale that's been replicated thousands of places across the country. It's very unique to Fort Wayne, especially in that we had an incredible number of talented faculty beyond the norm. And they coalesced in West Central, in those little houses and the funky studios within each one, and this for painting and that for ceramics. And they really bonded together there. And in going to see an exhibit by sculptor Dale Enoch 18 months, 2 years ago, Dale was telling tales at the table of these wonderful glory years of the Fort Wayne Art School. And I heard from Dale stories I'd never heard before and certainly never read in the history. And he just had me captivated at this.
Okay, he put his own hook out there.
Yeah, and so in pressing him about this, he essentially described to me a solid decade that was the decade of that school, the pinnacle, before it left West Central.
And, well, this is actually the foundation of our city's fine arts higher education and quite literally continues today as part of Purdue-Fort Wayne.
That academic scene today, you've got that institution with a good program, you've got St. Francis with a good program, you've got students getting excellent training both places and from Heron down the road. And so actually, the quality of the training and the quality of the art student is as high as ever. It's just not as romantic, perhaps.
And the quality of the output of the art that we are seeing locally everywhere, including in your own museum, is there forever. That's the legacy of it.
Absolutely.
That's just great. Now, on the other side of the museum, we have a sculptural glass landscape permanently blooming inside the museum. Now, and that is a pretty big deal. It's Martin Blank's Repose in Amber. How cool is that, we have that here?
It's amazing. It's extraordinary. I find that I stop 3-4 times a day just to have some time with it. It's 54 feet long. Ranging in height from 3 or 4 feet at a low to 9 to 11 at a high. It's a figure stretched out in repose. But a very abstract figure. And its finishes are shiny in some parts and matte in other parts with incised etching so that you get the depth between the layers of glass as well.
Mesmerizing.
It is entirely mesmerizing. And it's entirely a bigger piece physically, a bigger piece economically, and in terms of its significance and importance, a bigger piece than we ever anticipated having. But one of the things I spend a great deal of time, enjoyable time, I will tell you, is finding out who has what glass where, who collects what buildings have what, who are the artists' big fans, and reaching out to individuals who fit into those categories and suggesting to them that if you look at our program, we now do 3 to 4 beautiful glass shows a year. We've moved from the one summer of glass with multiple things all at the same time to things coming and going in glass all the time. We're treating that version of sculpture just as sculpture. The beauty is there. These artists are very, very happy around the world working with a museum in America. Very used to working with galleries. Museums are a little bit more standoffish unless they're a craft museum or a glass museum. And we're simply an art museum. And as such, we embrace these sculptors. And that word, initially, I'll tell you, I don't know how long I thought it would take to get that word out or exactly how you get. I'm a very simplistic getter of the word. I'm not a social media person. My idea of getting the word out is going to a lot of places, talking to a lot of people. Tell you sincerely what I think we can do. Let me show you some pictures of what we've done. And what are you thinking about? And it really started to pay off with this Martin Blank piece last spring when I got a call out of the blue saying, I'm told you're the guy to talk to. And I thought, well, that's wonderful. About what would that be? And a gentleman said, well, I have a problem. I'm a realtor, and I didn't know such a job existed. I'm a realtor who specializes in selling skyscrapers, basically, big-time buildings. And I've got a beautiful building in Chicago, and it had a sculpture in the lobby, which got put in the basement some years ago, and I'm selling the building again. My number one problem is I'd like to get it out of the basement for everybody's good. Secondarily, I've heard the tale. I think it's a horrifying thing to happen to any piece of fine art. And as I said at the start of the call, I've been told you're the guy that can do it. And I said, I'm just that guy.
That's quite a good reputation for yourself and for our art scene, certainly. And, you know, the popularity of glass sculpture, no doubt, it's going crazy. It's going global. Why the appeal, do you think? Go back to the basics. Why is glass the thing?
I think because, number one, it's beautiful. Number two, it has tended to work in forms that you can understand as you see them. Even if they're abstract, you can sort of feel them. Some of them are more figurative and you could read them. So it's not art that's fighting people. Mm-hmm. It's art that is meant for people to enjoy.
Friendly.
Unlike, you know, almost 25 years of quote-unquote capital F, capital A fine art, which has been hell-bent on mystifying the world and making sure that nobody from normal society can understand what this crazy person's doing. These artists don't feel that way. They're making it to share with you.
I get it. They're making it for you.
Well, that's right. And if museums have an issue with it, it's, well, first of all, it's three-dimensional and so bulky. And second of all, it came from a craft tradition. Ooh, I don't know how fine art people feel about crafts. I feel great about them. And I also don't feel these are craft. I feel these are fine art. So we probably are 6 years ahead of the pack. And I intend to take advantage of that fully.
And that's how we get wonderful pieces like this and the permanent Chihuly chandelier and other wonderments.
It's how it happens.
As we can afford them because we possibly can't afford them, and yet somehow we
Someone
get them.
Wants us to have them.
That's fantastic. That's very, very special, especially at this time of year. It's what makes for a great seasonal story. Now, I am kind of curious, you've been so busy this year, as we discussed. Are there any other like pet projects or coming up into the future, things that you know you're going to go forward with?
Well, actually, a couple of different things that come right to mind. The excitement about this piece of glass, before I'd even seen it, I'd just seen the pictures, got me to pick up the phone and talk to a friend who's had a bank and who's had a foundation and who's got all kinds of connections. And just, I wasn't calling to ask anything. I was calling to say, you know, I know you to be a person of passion and I got to share with you. Isn't this unbelievable? There's a very expensive piece of glass, very huge, coming here as a gift from collectors in Chicago. And I just find that stunning. And she did as well. And naturally what happened in the next part of the conversation, she said, you know, the foundation should help you out with these kind of things. And I thought, wouldn't that be lovely if that could happen? And indeed, I suspect that by the end of December, we will be announcing a very large seven-figure gift to keep collecting going.
That is a Christmas miracle if we believe in miracles.
That's right. 34th Street or elsewhere. We will take them right on Main Street. And so that's been wonderful. Another wonderful thing that came about is that, you know, 3 weeks ago, we were at Chicago at the SOFA show at the pier. And tons of glass people there and tons of art galleries there. And I actually hadn't been on the floor more than maybe about 45 minutes when an artist that I've always wanted to work with, never had the opportunity and really haven't been able to afford the work, came up and said, oh my goodness, you're doing so many wonderful things. And I heard about Martin's piece. I'm giving you a wonderful piece.
Oh my goodness.
I thought, oh my word. Like, what do I have to do for this? No. I want to be in your collection. Let's do it.
Now that's
next day, another artist said, you know, I've had a show with you, but I've got a collector who's been rated, he and his wife, one of the top 12 collectors in the world, and they own a piece of mine and they're downsizing. Would you accept it if they wanted to give it to the Fort Wayne Museum? Absolutely, we would. And it's on its way tomorrow. So I'm telling you, Julia, things are popping. The name of Fort Wayne is popping on people's lips and ears, and it's exciting. I mean, I'll head out at the end of next month to St. Pete and Sarasota to meet with all the glass people down there and to meet with the national organization people and have a dinner and have a lunch. But, you know, when I entered the room at SOFA for their dinner, they said, here's the guy that does it. He can get it done.
That's a great testimonial and salute to you. And we all here in Fort Wayne know it's true, but it's great that you're
Thank you,
in our behalf that this is happening.
I'd love to be known as that guy.
Well, get used to it. That is true, to be sure. So, Charles, obviously you're making all of us believe in this spirit of magical giving and miracles coming from wherever and into our laps, so to speak. Now that you've been a Fort Wayne creative, an arts advocate, and our museum director and president for 16 years, what seasonal wish would you like to share with our listeners?
Well, I think first and foremost is that a lot of what we're doing right now, I'm telling you, the support is flowing in tremendous ways. And, you know, I just signed 200 thank you notes today, and that's just today. And these are people, new donors, ranging from $25 to $2,500. And man, that really helps us get going. The other side of that coin is that, you know, what about looking at a la carte? Just come on down and see a great show and spend $8. If you don't like it, you don't have to come back again. But I bet I'm going to capture you. I bet I'm going to get you into the magic of these crazy things that we do, from guitars to rock and roll posters to wonderful installations of typewriters that have been turned into looking like machine guns and quilts done by crazy contemporary people. I mean, you can't get bored. I defy you. If you're bored, I'll give you the $8 back.
That all sounds fair enough and an offer that our listeners can't refuse. Charles Shepherd is president and CEO of the Fort Wayne Museum of Art. Charles, thank you so much for sharing your always wonderful stories with us today. And here's to Fort Wayne's awesome art scene.
Thank you so much.